Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for this day and for our time that we can gather here this morning to hear your word, to be an encouragement to each other as we continue to live our lives here in this world. Lord, we ask that as we turn to your word now, that you would open our hearts and minds so that we can receive that word and Lord, that we're able to apply it to our lives so that we can be a witness of who you are. Lord, we ask that you would block out a few distractions that might be racing through our minds right now so that we can focus on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue with joining Jesus on his mission series this morning, I do want to point one thing out because I hit pretty heavily on, and this is what the series is about us being everyday missionaries where God has placed us. What I don't want to come across is the importance of overseas missionary work. Missionaries that are over there, short-term mission trips that people go on, those are very important. But the point, I think, of this series is most people are not called to do that. And that's okay. But the people who are, they have a very important task that needs to be carried out as well. And so both overseas missionaries and overseas mission trips that people do, and us being an everyday missionary are all together just vitally important for who we are as Christians. In 1996, the Honduran government commissioned a bridge to be built that would span the Choluteca River. Now, we think, big deal, right? We have bridges everywhere. In fact, how many of you had to go over a bridge this morning to get here? A lot of people probably had to go over a bridge to get here this morning. And what bridges provide us with is a way to get from point A to point B, which without that bridge could possibly be impassable. Now, a lot of us go to temple quite often, right? And if it were not for the bridge that goes across the Belton Lake, we would find ourselves driving a good distance to get around it. So bridges have their purpose, but the difference in this bridge in Honduras is what people have to deal with down on the coast of Texas. And hopefully they withstood the hurricane. Because this bridge in Honduras was going to have to be able to withstand a Category 4 hurricane. The bridge was built, opened in 1998, and in that very same year, it received its first test. Because Hurricane Mitch came barreling across the Caribbean Sea. Is it Caribbean or Caribbean? Just throw that out there for you. Okay, so it came barreling across the Caribbean Sea. Now, it reached the strength of a Category 5 hurricane as it came across that sea. But what was interesting is when it got close to the shoreline, it began to weaken. And by the time it hit the shoreline of Honduras, it had tropical force winds is all basically that it had. But the problem was, is a similar situation that we've witnessed here in Texas. It stalled and it dumped 75 inches of rain in Honduras. Now what happened was this water comes barreling down the Choluteca River where this bridge had been built. And guess what? It withstood the winds. It withstood the water. But the aftermath is this picture on the screen. The river moved. The force of all of that water at one time caused that river to actually redirect its course, rendering this bridge useless. The point is going to be by the end of this message is bridges are made to get us from point A to point B. Bridges are made for a purpose. But sometimes things change. And we have to readjust the way we think and what we do. I'm going to suggest that this happens in the New Testament. And I'm not calling Jesus a hurricane, but yet he was pretty radical coming on the scene, because he would begin to change the religious culture of that time, really changing the religious attitudes of people and really causing a hurricane. Because for so many years, and even if we go back to the Old Testament, for so many years, there were bridges that were built that would connect people to who Yahweh, who the true God was. If we go back to our Exodus series, we talked about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were set into place where people would live together with each other and live with God in unity. If you remember, the purpose of the Ten Commandments was to create that unity that people would live by in a response to what God had done for them, how he brought them out of the land of Egypt. If we continue on in the book of Exodus, God tells them, the Israelite people, to build this tabernacle that they will carry with them through the wilderness, where his presence would dwell among them. When they cross over into the promised land through the Jordan River, when they get into the promised land, what do they build? The temple, the place where God would dwell among them. And those were all bridges that were built to connect the people to God. And in that temple, the sacrificial system, the elaborate sacrificial system that God constructed and formed for them, where the animal sacrifices would be brought in, the priest would make those sacrifices day in and day out to atone for the people's sins, were a bridge that connected people to God. And now all of a sudden, here in the New Testament, we have a guy by the name of Jesus who comes on the scene and begins to try to change things. And it really causes a problem for a lot of people. And we see this shift beginning to be made, I believe, even in our gospel reading for this morning, because Jesus and the disciples are in the area of Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus says, "Who do the people say that I am?" In Matthew chapter 16, that's verse 13. "Who do the people say that I am?" Now the disciples reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But Jesus wants to know, "Who do you say I am?" He asked the disciples, and here sometimes it's a little bit unclear of who Jesus is referring to sometimes as the disciples, because Jesus' disciples can be a large group of people that's gathered to learn that he's teaching. Sometimes he's referring to the 12, his closest chosen. In this instance, Jesus has the 12 right there with him. And so all these other people are saying who they think Jesus might be, but he wants to know, "Who do you say I am? Who, you're my closest of friends, my disciples, who do you say I am?" And Peter, it's always Peter, isn't it? It's bold Peter that speaks up. It's like everybody else is thinking, and Peter's the one that speaks collectively for the disciples. And he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied to him in verse 17 and 18. He says, "This has not been given to you by man, but by God. This has not been revealed to you by any man, but by God himself, the Father in heaven." And he goes on to say, "You are Simon, son of Jonah. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now that verse 18, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, has probably raised some of the biggest discussion, possibly debates, of any other verse in the Bible. Because some interpret this passage, this verse of meaning, who is God going to build his church on? Peter. And there's some church bodies that will try to link and say that they can link their leadership in their church from Peter himself. Now, we're going to talk a little bit of Greek here today. And I know y'all love it when we do this, right? And I do too, because I'm not that good at it, okay? But I do understand this. When we look at this verse, Peter in the Greek is Petros. When we look at rock, it's Petra. Now, I know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us, because I believe it's a little bit of play on words here that Matthew's using. Petros is a masculine noun, and Petra is a feminine noun. And typically speaking, not always, but typically speaking in the Greek language, if you're trying to make a match and a comparison with something, you're going to use the same gender of noun. Does that make sense? So if you're going to say that Peter is this rock that he's going to build the church on, there would have typically tried to be some kind of match in the masculinity of those nouns. So what we firmly believe that Jesus is saying here, you are Peter. And on this rock, this confession that you just made, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what the church is going to be built on. And this makes a lot of sense, right? Because would God really choose an imperfect person to build his church on? And especially one like Peter, if we recount everything that he did? What is happening here, certainly Peter becomes a prominent player in the growth of the church in the book of Acts, right? He's at the forefront. But it's really that confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that the church is going to be built on. And this is what I'm saying is so radical about Jesus' ministry, because he is trying to change the minds of people. This sacrificial system that they've been using for thousands of years, that's going to be no longer, it's going to be useless. It's going to be a bridge that brought the people to God. It's going to be useless. Because now Jesus is the fulfillment of all those Old Testament laws, and he is going to be that bridge that brings people to God. And I'm going to say that today we are having a cultural shift. The river of our culture has moved. And what I mean by that is the fact that I'm going to say 20, 30, 40 years ago, we could build a church building. We could come up with these programs and elaborate things going on in the church, and we could basically sit right here and open the doors, and what would happen? People would come in. But that's not the case anymore. Churches are trying to do everything and anything to get people to come to their church. I've even thought about having a raffle, right? Give away a big screen TV. No, I'm just kidding. And I'm going to say, maybe in our smaller community, we don't see this quite as much, because I do believe a lot of people move to a smaller community because you have some of that religious atmosphere still going on. And I'm going to say, as we look around our church, St. John Lutheran Church, we see people coming. And I am thankful for that. I praise God that we have visitors here every single Sunday. And we're thankful for that. But I am going to say this. I don't know that those visitors come here because we're sitting here with the doors open. I think St. John is already going about the business of being an everyday missionary. And what I mean by that is we're out in the community. We are forming relationships with people. We are inviting them to church, and they feel comfortable coming. And that's a wonderful thing. But for as a whole, our culture is moved. The bridge of the church building itself, is no longer as useful as it used to be. We have to get out into the community. We need to form relationships with people in order for them to feel comfortable coming to worship with us. We can't just sit here in the pews with the doors open and think, where are the people? We have to get out. We have to make connections. And that's really what this series is all about. Being an everyday missionary, wherever God has placed us, making those connections with others so that we can share the good news that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what the church is based on. That's what the church is built on. That's the foundation, that's the cornerstone, as we sang at the beginning of the service. Jesus is the cornerstone. And he can weather us through any storm that comes our way. And I know that our hearts are heavy this morning with just a lot of devastation because of the hurricane that has hit down along the Texas coast. I mean, many of us have family. I know we have people that have family that are here today to escape the danger of that. And so we will continue in our service to lift up those families that are affected. I know the service people from here, I think TxDOT, some were sent down this morning. Game wardens, Jason Bussey, their family is down there in the middle of this. And so we will continue to pray that for their safety as well. But we always want to know that God loves us. He's forgiven us. He gives us eternal life. And now that is the message we want to carry to the world. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do thank you again for our time here this morning. And Lord, I pray that as we think about what it is that you've done for us, that we are so moved. Moved in our inner spirit, that we have a passion to be about the work that you've called us to do. We know that we live in a different time, and we know that even the things that the church has always done does not necessarily work anymore. And I ask that we humbly come before you, knowing that in our minds that there are going to be things that we certainly cannot continue to do the way we have in order to reach people. And we ask that we're open to that, we're open to your leading in whatever it is that we need to do, to not change your word, to speak your word in truth, but to change some of the ways that we reach the people in our community. We ask that we always live in the assurance of the forgiveness and life that we have in your Son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.